And welcome to Black and a Half Reviews.
Yes, this is a special episode for us.
Yeah, I'm Sas Lindenstein.
I'm Manny Martin.
And we have a guest today.
That's right.
The one and only Quentin Jones.
Hey, what's up? How y'all doing? Happy to be here, man.
Yeah.
And today we are reviewing the film of the year, possibly.
How many films in?
22 films.
22 films.
It's like the 11, film of the millennium.
11 yeah. years in the making. Avengers Endgame.
Yeah.
You've probably had to be living under a rock to not know that this movie was coming out. If you don't want any spoilers at all, turn this off now. We'll get into we'll try not to ruin the biggest parts of the movie for you in this, but
gotta give them a timestamp. Like, all right, yeah. Skip ahead to 1732.
Well, we're not there yet, so I can't. I don't have a time stone, so I can't tell them when it's going to happen.
That's true.
But in case you, Avengers Endgame is the sequel to
Infinity Wars.
Yeah. In this movie, we see who is remaining of the Avengers, which of course was the original Avengers plus a few
scattered characters.
My boy Rocket
made it.
Yeah.
And then as they come together to figure out how to defeat Thanos and save their friends. I thought it was particularly interesting that the advertising leading up to it was all talking about there seemed to be a lot of vengeance, or like they're going to get revenge.
Yeah.
I did manage for the most part to avoid trailers because I didn't want to see.
But
them.
These trailers, I think they did a good job of like hiding most of the movie. I think usually when you watch a trailer, it's like they give you basically the synopsis of the movie. But for this one, if you don't watch the movie, like you see them in the suits, like, oh, they're going in space
right.
to like go get them. And it's not that at all. So
yeah.
right.
they weren't very spoilery. So I appreciated that. Like looking back, like I knew nothing and right. I expected nothing.
And,
you know,
I mean, what we can say easily is, you know, it starts off just about 3 weeks after the events of Infinity Wars.
Right.
They spent about a half hour in that timeline and then it jumps ahead 5 years. And that was the first time in the movie I freaked out because I was like, what? How, they just moved on.
Yeah.
They moved on.
Oh, without a conclusion. Yeah. I see what you're saying. Without a conclusion.
Wait, so are they, what happened? Are they going to? Wait. I was so confused. I was like, they're not really going to. Okay. They're going to do. Because I think everybody knew time was involved in this.
But yeah.
Between the time stone and Doctor's. Like if you didn't pick up the Doctor Strange's line.
I didn't.
You know, from the first movie?
So I did. So here's what I thought. I don't want to spoil too much, but right. like once Ant-Man comes into play and they're like, yeah, I just, what kind of, like, how much am I supposed to say about it?
So we know time's involved and we know the quantum.
Okay,
the quantum
I don't want to say something.
They advertise them as the quantum realm suits. So
okay,
it's kind
okay.
of,
yeah. Then I'll just recant what I was going to say because that's pretty spoilery. I'll leave it alone.
Well, yeah, I mean, the one thing that I did find that, I mean, the culmination of 22 films, right?
Yeah.
I do feel like each film kind of added something. I guess you really didn't need Captain Marvel too much in it. I mean, or you didn't need her movie to, you know.
I think you understood which when she was there.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I think you did get how powerful she is.
Totally.
I think Captain Marvel, you knew, oh, she's going to mess him up.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I didn't know, like, the strength level of.
Right. Of Captain Marvel.
Because I'd actually been told before that. What's her name?
Scarlet Witch.
Scarlet Witch was that the only one powerful enough to defeat Thanos. And she didn't seem that.
Well, it's interesting because
in the first one, she wasn't as strong.
Well, in the comic books, it was.
Yeah, she's up there with like Magneto.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, she's the daughter of Magneto in the comic books, which is.
Oh, which they couldn't do yet. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's also going to be interesting how they kind of bleed that over. But back to the movie. It was. Very, I mean, there were so many good points of it, but I mean, 3 hours worth of a movie, I never felt like it was too long.
Yeah.
There was a point overall, where I thought it was about to end.
No, let's just get first. Did you like the movie?
You know, I feel like there was one thing missing for me. I still don't know what it quite was, but that's why I would say I would give it an 8.5 out of 10. How about you, Gordon?
I give it a 9 just because I feel like. Something has to happen for it to be a 10. I don't know what it is, but
right.
as a person that's watched every movie and been a fan of Marvel and all the, you know, Easter eggs, it gave me basically everything, with except for Hulk actually beating somebody up and getting like his revenge from Infinity War, because he like punked out in Infinity War.
Right.
And there was never a point where I just wanted him like to get like a scene where he's like, ah, blah, 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 blah.
Exactly.
And I never got that. As a Hulk fan, I was disappointed. But like, it gave me everything, resolution. Like, but I will say this, I'm not looking forward to anything after this.
Yeah, yeah, I'm at that point right now.
They killed Marvel movies for me. Yeah. Like, I don't care about Black Panther 2. They just saved the universe. Right. He's going to fight his cousin now again. I don't care. I mean, you know,
that is something interesting to think of. The next movie is Eternals. But before I guess we get into that, what was your take on it?
I've seen it twice now.
Right.
And I think right now I'm ready to give it out of 5 Honeycrisp apples, I'm giving it a solid 5.
A solid 5.
Okay. I think it was like 4.5 the first time. Mm-hmm. And then the second time, there's a lot of emotional moments in it. I think I maybe extra for me because there was some stuff dealing with father-daughters in it that like choked. Well, just even just the first opening of it when it happens in the first part of it, but when Hawkeye's daughter goes missing.
Yeah.
That tug. The second time, I cried more the second time
really?
Of the movie than the first because of the anticipation of like, and maybe it was because I was like, you know, because the second time I saw it, I was with my daughter and I was trying to hide that I had seen it already.
Oh, you didn't tell
she
her.
Didn't know.
You like to look faster.
Because I saw a press screening of it and she, and so I was, I don't know if that was involved in it, but I just.
Did you, like, give her a hug in the movie?
No, she was embarrassed that I cried 5 times or something. She's like, you cried 5 times. I was like, nobody could see that.
But that's the thing about that movie. There were so many different layers to it. There was the sense of loss. There's the sense of
redemption.
Redemption. Yeah. You know, there's just so many. And they did a great thing of letting you have a relationship with these characters over 10 years, right? So you've known, you know, Tony Stark, Steve Rogers, you've known Thor for all this time. So there are certain moments in the movie where you feel these characters' pain. And I think it did a great job of that. I'm still with Quentin to some extent. I think that there was just one thing, but could you ever truly make the perfect film? I don't know.
No, you can't.
You know, there's always going to be somebody who has some sort of gripe. But
what do you think was lacking in it?
That's the thing. I still don't know right now. I'm going to go see it again.
So it's perfect.
Yeah, I'm seeing
right
it
now.
Again today.
Until you can come up with what was missing, it's a perfect film.
That's such a fallacy.
Yeah.
That's like a relationship. It's like, she was great, but it didn't work out. Why? Just, I don't know. This feeling on the left side of my stomach. Just but
The characters being interesting. Like, I thought they were, gosh, I almost forget this was just a superhero film, you know,
right.
Like they were like seeing
it's a chick
you know,
flick.
Yeah.
it was just every,
who did you feel the most attached to in the movie?
Well, I think, I think I can't help but be that it's Tony Stark just because he's been in almost everyone.
Yeah, right.
He wasn't in any Guardians films. But otherwise, you know, like it feels like a lot of this has been his journey.
Yeah.
Because even like, you know, Captain America Civil War, it's Captain America's movie, but it was all about him.
Right.
It was kind of about what, and that was the big
spoiler alert,
split
how,
between
how
the,
he lost his parents in
that
movie.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it's always like it's all something revolves around Tony.
Yeah.
Through it all.
Yeah, that's a good point. He's the main focal point of the story.
Yeah, I mean, he's the driving force. He's he's the first. Captain America is the first Avenger. But like with Nick Fury and all that, he was like the first guy Nick Fury went to.
Because I mean, in the first Avengers film, I feel like he does tend to take a lead role in it. The second Avengers film, I mean, it all happens because of Tony Stark, his mess up. So he's a central figure a lot. So I think it is Tony Stark's movie to a degree.
Right.
I mean, it is an ensemble, and
it's almost like
I
don't know. It's almost like a redemption story of just everybody in there. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, it was,
and he predicts everything.
Yeah.
Like, if you look way back, he's like, we need a response to intergalactic threats. And everyone's like, and then Thanos comes.
And early on, he blames Captain America early on in the film for it. But I don't think that, you know, I think he's being a little unrealistic. Because even if they had all been together, the threat wasn't unstoppable.
I feel like he was like, yeah, we need a dome around the planet. Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you see what this dude Thanos has? He's like, oh, that's cute.
So, you know, that's one of the big things, though, is like, as much as I guess, you know, the sense of, you know, the whole movie, I feel like I knew somebody or something is going to happen. I'm just like, you know, and that's probably part of the press thing is that like, oh, you know, this person deserves a happy ending. This person deserves a happy ending. I'm like, shouldn't have even read those because I'm starting to feel like, yeah, am I going to lose somebody?
I think it was pretty well known that a couple of the actors have contracts expiring. Yeah. And that's the unfortunate part about our age, like the right. age that we're in of movies, is that we know so many details mm-hmm. about behind the scenes mm-hmm. that you can't help but like, well, they're going to have an exit, right? Unless right. they're trying to dupe us. And I think there are some main characters that I think are going to continue in movies that I did not expect, because I thought all the Avengers were pretty much done.
Yeah, I think they were
trying to throw us off with a couple characters that are supposed to be having TV shows coming. Right. Out.
Who's having TV show?
Well, they had announced both Hawkeye and Black Widow as having
their own spin-off
shows. And there's a scene in it that I was like, okay, well, they have to. No. Oh, wait. They both have shows coming off. They can't.
Yeah, there was a point. Yeah. I'm like, well, wait. So this person has to die because, Disney Plus, you know. Right?
You know? Yeah. And so I've been seeing interesting how they do resolve some of the situations into
they gonna hit us the with Marvel the flashback universe. Card.
Exactly, right?
That's before she was an Avenger. Before he was an Avenger.
Right. And one of the things I do love about the movie is there's so many iconic, you know, throughout, I guess, the 22 films, there are iconic I guess depictions of the comic book, right? So it's like that scene where Iron Man is fighting Captain America and he's like blasting him and he's got the shield. You know, you got that depiction in this movie. There's a great one
that we can't say,
but when you see it, you'll know exactly what it is. But it's for those of you who were comic book fans growing up, you'll definitely know exactly what it is. But I mean, you kind of get chills when you see some of these things happen and you're like, holy shit,
I wasn't a Marvel fan when I was young.
Right. So I was more of a DC fan. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then once I got into these, I was like, well, I don't want to read them now because I know they're going to give stuff away. Because some people were like, well, I know how this ends because I read the comic book.
As a person that read the comic books, like in that last scene when they're, you know, running around, there was like, it's so hard not to spoil. Like, okay. You don't cut anything.
I don't cut. I know. Yeah.
Okay. No. I'll shut up. It's so hard. I don't want to ruin.
Okay. I will ask you: is this? Did the time travel like science throw anybody off? Was it hard to follow at any point?
Oh my goodness! So,
I really liked the way they explained how time travel works and made the jokes about
Back to the Future.
Yeah, Back to the Future. Like and I was like, you know, I like this explanation way better than I've ever liked.
Right.
Because I don't like the idea. Because it's the butterfly effect. I hate the idea that. Whenever they go and do like Back to the Future, like, okay, so I'm gonna get this book back and then it'll fix everything, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but what about now there was a car crash and how now that person has to go get a new car? There should be a whole lot of things that happen because of that, but you don't care because they're not the main characters, right? Mm-hmm. And so I like the way of their explanation, and I don't think this is given away, but that time branches off. Well, not branches, but like that. You can if you go back into the past, mm-hmm. that becomes your future. Like they lost me with that.
I'm not gonna lie. I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Time is still one line. Like everything that happened in the past, you cannot change it.
Oh, thus having to change the future instead of the past, right?
Right. Like you can't. Like I can't go in the past. If I go in the past and killed my great grandfather,
right?
I'm still born.
Right.
I can't change what happened in the past. But I have to live with everything that happened, like I remember it. And
see, because that's what throws me off, right? Yeah, so if you killed your grandfather, it creates the grandfather paradox,
but it's in
right?
the future. Well, there's no paradox. That's the thing. Is like there's no paradox.
So basically, you're doing is you're creating a different branch of time.
I did split a new timeline back there.
But
I did
in create that other timeline, you don't exist now in the alternate timeline.
Yeah.
Okay, so I get it. Okay, that makes more sense.
So that's like the Dragon Ball Z multiverse then.
Exactly. So like in the DC Infinite Universes and the Marvel Infinite Universes, there's like, you know, there's all these different stories that are happening and they're different branches of time, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and I will, after we get off this, I'll explain like why I'm only upset about one thing on it.
Okay.
That they did with the time that I thought made part of that moot. But generally overall, film was, I think it was beautifully done.
Yes.
CGI is wonderful. That I don't even think about it being CGI.
That's the interesting part.
I didn't think about that, but yeah, everyone fit in.
Here's the interesting thing about that. IGN said that it was too much CGI to where they felt like it wasn't real. But I never for once was like, I never for once sat there and was like, oh, this doesn't look real.
I don't think it'd be a shock to anybody that there's going to be a great epic battle in this, mm-hmm. right? But like, yeah, you can't do epic battles like that without CGI.
Exactly.
And I guess if I was trying to be picky, yeah, like, I mean, physics usually don't work in all those. And, mm-hmm. you know, you can't.
But I think they did a good job of, like, you know, giving the CGI, not having, like, too much CGI stuff. It's like.
Right. I mean, I always felt like, for some reason, Rocket Raccoon was real. I mean, he looked real enough.
He looked darn good.
I totally
good.
Forget that he's not, like, some actor.
Totally.
Wearing a mask. I don't like. They're so on point with those characters.
Can I bring up one thing that doesn't necessarily have to do with the review?
What?
Sure.
Okay. There's a lot of people upset about the fat shaming of Thor. Like,
oh my gosh,
you know what? Yeah. As soon as I knew that was gonna happen when I'm watching, I was like, you know, they're kind of making fun of him a lot. That's just a lot of fat jokes, which is a little surprising in the.
And I kind of wonder in the black community, or do we just grow up with like? I feel like
we're fat shamed all the
skin.
Time.
Yeah, we get like
it's like I hate this wave of America where you just can't. Like, fat is a thing. One, it's not a bad word. Okay, and then
we
two.
We can get into that in the show. Yeah, but as far as review, like, there's some fat jokes that I did like, that's, you know, I don't know if they were necessary. Like,
it makes sense. If you have if Arnold Schwarzenegger gains 100 pounds of fat,
right.
You know, you're going to address it. You're going to make fun of them. And especially if they're your friends.
Totally.
You know, these are Thor's friends. They're making fun of them.
And I'm also, if I ever get depressed, I eat. And I can see where he was at.
I thought it was a good. They understood where he was from, mentally. Like the 5 years.
Yeah.
They could have gone in a non funny way, but like my complaint about Marvel movies in general, mm-hmm. ever since Whedon took over,
right,
or did the first Avengers, is there is an element to that they go for the joke a lot,
right?
And sometimes I think they kill the dramaticness of the scene by always making it. There's always a joke to break the ice,
right?
And so I always think that they never take themselves
too seriously.
I
didn't
DC.
Feel that in this one though. I had to rewatch it.
Yeah,
but I feel like they let every moment breathe here.
I do. I feel like I agree. I feel like there was the time to be emotional. There was the time to have fun and laugh with your old friends that you've known over 10 years.
Yeah, like at the end, like I just assumed like someone was going to be like, now we don't have to blah, 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 and break it. And it didn't. It was just on to the next scene.
I think this one maybe did a better job than the past one.
But I know what you're talking about.
Of like, oh, we're in this moment and then someone has to crack a joke.
Right.
And like, can we just, you could have just moved on.
All right. I think I have it down to a science for our rating system. We should do it out of 5. And if you want to give it 5 blacks, you can give it 5 blacks. If you want to give it a half, you say, I give it 4 blacks and 1 half. So I'm going to give this movie, the current moment, 4 blacks and 1 half.
Giving it 5 apples.
Apples. Okay, that's my trademark. Okay, all right. I'm going to do 4.
I'm going to ride with Manny because I said 9. So, 4.5 blacks.
There you go. Yeah.
Four blacks and a half.
Four blacks and a half.
Makes
me feel like we're at an auction.
Four blacks is good.
I got 4 blacks and a half. Hell, you got 1 guy and 1 half. Hell.
All right. So, Avengers, go check it out before everybody spoils it for you.
You got till Monday at 8 a.m. EST. I'm on Facebook spoiling if you know me, but this will be out after. So,
there you go.
I will have spoiled it for you. Yeah. So, you already hate me. It's cool.
All right. Black and a half?
Black and a half.
Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by to receive our transmission.